NPR.
This is The Indicator from Planet Money. I'm Darian Woods.
And I'm Sasha Fiver.
Sasha, thank you so much for joining us from NPR's Investigations Desk.
Thank you for having me on the show.
You have done a lot of reporting for NPR on the Paycheck Protection Program, or PPP.
Yes, I have. And Darian, you obviously remember that at the start of the pandemic, there was this huge worry that we were going to see just a gigantic increase in unemployment. So this federal program was created.
Yeah.
The idea was it was going to prevent that unemployment from happening by giving potentially forgivable loans to small businesses. The idea was that it would save jobs, and it was a lifesaver for many people.
Right, but it's also widely considered a massive government giveaway. Billions of dollars went to companies that didn't even exist or didn't need it.
Yes, and these loans were very easy to get. And by the way, the federal government is unapologetic about that. It says it had to gush money out there as fast as possible to prevent possible economic catastrophe, and the amount of money it gushed, almost $800 billion.
Jaw-dropping. And the government knows that a lot of that money went to fraudsters and to companies that thrived during COVID. So you might assume that it was very strict when deciding which loans to forgive.
Yes, you would assume that. But that is not what happened. The vast majority of PPP loans have been forgiven.
Today on the show, how the Paycheck Protection Program worked, why it was so lenient at the front, and we'll also hear from one business that defied expectations and voluntarily gave the money back. That's all coming up after the break.
This message comes from NPR sponsor HubSpot. More to-dos, less time, and an infinite number of tools to keep track of. Doing business has never felt harder. But you don't need a miracle to hit your goals. You just need HubSpot, because their all-in-one customer platform can make growing your business infinitely easier. Imagine this: higher quality leads, fast closing deals, wildly happy customers, and more benchmark-breaking quarters. It's not a miracle, it's HubSpot. Visit HubSpot.com to get started today. Support for this podcast and the following message come from Humana. Employees are the heartbeat of your business. That's why Humana offers group dental, vision, life, and disability plans designed to protect them. Exceptional service, broad networks, and modern benefits. That's the power of human care.
This message comes from NPR sponsor Arctic Wolf. Their researchers have released the Arctic Wolf Lab's 2024 threat report. Why will 2024 be a volatile year for cybersecurity? Learn more and get your copy now at arcticwolf.com/NPR.
Sasha, let's time travel in our minds back to spring 2020. That's when the COVID lockdowns were beginning and wide-scale layoffs were happening.
Right. That felt like economic Armageddon. So the government quickly created the Paycheck Protection Program. The rules were it was for businesses with no more than 500 employees. Companies could get up to $10 million in loans to help cover payroll and a few other expenses. Billions of dollars started flowing, and immediately there was public uproar.
Lots of celebrities, lots of investment banks.
A number of high-powered, well-connected people here in Washington, lobbying firms.
You got country clubs, private jet companies, billionaires.
To get a loan, companies simply had to pledge that the uncertainty of the current economic conditions make necessary the loan request. Right, pretty vague, right?
Yes, very vague. That technical term was called self-certification. Well, Darian, surprise, surprise, a lot of companies self-certified that shouldn't have. Eventually, there were House oversight hearings, and here's former Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin at one of them.
We thought that people would self-select appropriately, and unfortunately, there were a number of companies that were high profile that took the loans.
And some big businesses were pressured to return the money, and to their credit, some did, like Shake Shack and the LA Lakers.
Yes, but most companies kept it, even ones that didn't have to lay people off. Darian, remember how once things stabilized for a lot of industries after the first few months of COVID, the construction industry, for example, was desperate for workers. COVID ended up being very profitable for many construction firms, but they still got PPP.
Overall, three rounds of PPP loans went out, and they totaled $792 billion. The program's estimated to have saved around 3 million jobs, although each job saved cost up to $258,000 in government funding. So this is a very expensive way to preserve employment.
Yes. Now, let's fast forward to when it was time to repay those loans or ask for loan forgiveness. Over time, the rules kept changing, and eventually, the program made almost any use of the money legal. And most borrowers could get the full amount forgiven just by submitting a form promising they had used the money correctly.
We promise. And that meant that hordes of scam artists got their loans forgiven. By one estimate, $64 billion of Paycheck Protection Program loans showed signs of fraud. And countless legitimate businesses were allowed to keep the money, even if they would have, you know, ridden out the pandemic just fine without it.
And Darian, it's been about 2 years now since I've been covering this program, and I have pressed a lot of government officials about why they didn't do more to prevent fraud and waste. And really, they get a little testy when asked that question. One person I spoke with is a former Treasury official under President Trump named Michael Falkender.
Because PPP got up and running, we did not realize the catastrophe that could have taken place had we failed. What would breadlines during a pandemic have looked like? Do we want to know? I didn't. And so we were going to get that program up and running.
And it's understandable in a way that at the front end, with all that fear, the government prioritized speed over accuracy because it says the situation was urgent. Now, Falkender told me on the back end, Congress wanted forgiveness to be easy. That lenient forgiveness process continued under President Biden. Darian, so far, 96% of all the PPP money has been forgiven. Here's what a former Biden official in the Small Business Administration named Patrick Kelly told me.
Congress never took action to give this administration authority to say, you know, it turns out that you probably didn't need that loan. Can you please give the money back?
But some businesses did give the money back, even though they didn't have to, like in Massachusetts.
I am Robert J. Morrill, and I am an attorney and former managing partner of the firm here at Gilmer, Reese & Carlson.
Bob had worried that the pandemic might hurt business, but it turns out it didn't. The law firm never had to lay anyone off or reduce hours or cut pay. It even turned a profit during COVID. Darian, I visited Bob at his office, and he had a big pile of paper ready to show me.
And this stack here, I have our application for the PPP loan, and I have the loan paid in full. It was $694,930, and we actually paid interest of about $5,600 on that amount.
He says his firm was able to survive without the money, so keeping it would have felt wrong.
And it bothers him that more companies didn't also give the money back.
I don't want to sound self-righteous, but the people at the higher wealth end of the spectrum that kept it, that didn't need it, yeah, I got a problem with that.
And Darian, even though I pointed out to him how high the forgiveness rate is and how easily his firm's loan could have been forgiven, he says he has no regrets.
Because I would have felt guilty. And where the money would have ended up is in the pockets of the shareholders of the company.
And that's where most Paycheck Protection Program money actually did end up. One study found that up to 3/4 of all PPP loans went to their business owners, their creditors, and their suppliers, but not to workers. And that just doesn't sit well with Bob.
I believe in capitalism, and I don't see it as my place to have my business subsidized by the government if I don't need it.
And that attitude makes him a bit of a unicorn, at least for the PPP program. And Darian, I've been talking to so many people about this issue, economists, policymakers. They were all quite taken aback by the idea that someone would repay a forgivable loan out of essentially benevolence.
No, I haven't heard about a lot of cases of that happening.
That's a University of Chicago finance professor named Eric Zwick, who studied the Paycheck Protection Program. And the reason he hasn't heard about a lot of cases is because there are not a lot of cases.
Not just that he hasn't been trying hard enough.
Correct. So, Darian, I worked with NPR's data reporters to analyze data from the Small Business Administration, and we found that of the 11.5 million PPP loans issued, only about 73,000 were repaid without requesting forgiveness.
73,000. That's just 0.6%. It is not really a dent in that $800 billion.
No, but Eric has a parable for that.
It's like the kid throwing the starfish back into the ocean after the storm.
Do we all know this parable?
I did not.
Right.
So Eric explained to me that it's about a bunch of starfish getting washed ashore, and a child starts putting some back in the water, and someone approaches the child.
And the person's like, you know, you can't possibly save them all. Why are you doing this? And he's like, well, it makes a difference for this one as he throws one into the water.
So put another way, just because an action is small doesn't mean it isn't worthwhile.
Now, many economists hope if there is another giant crisis that results in a giant government stimulus, that the government will have better checks and balances. But in the meantime, prosecutors have up to 10 years to chase pandemic fraud. But they won't be going after companies that didn't need a PPP loan but were eligible anyway.
Yes, although on the point of companies that didn't need it but were allowed to keep it, Bob Morrill has a wish.
Could the government come out now and say, hey, guess what? If you still have this money, return it. That's probably pretty naive.
It's a triumph of hope over experience.
It is, yes.
This episode was produced by Julia Ritchie with engineering by Debbie Daughtry. It was fact-checked by Sierra Juarez. Kate Kincannon edits the show, and The Indicator is a production of NPR.
This election season, you can expect to hear a lot of news. Some of it meaningful, much of it not. Give the Up First podcast 15 minutes, sometimes a little less, and we'll help you sort it out. What's going on around the world and at home? 3 stories, 15 minutes, Up First every day. Listen every morning wherever you get your podcasts.
This message comes from NPR sponsor, American Express. Take your business further with the smart and flexible Amex Business Gold Card. It's packed with benefits that help unlock more value from your business purchases. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard. This message comes from NPR sponsor, Charles Schwab, with its original podcast, On Investing. Each week, you'll get thoughtful, in-depth analysis of both the stock and the bond markets. Listen today and subscribe at schwab.com/oninvesting or wherever you get your podcasts.